As John earlier said, we got the privilege, the young adults got the privilege of leading the month of October. And me, Briley, and John were the young adults leaders, so we got everybody together and said, this is what we're getting to do. An honoring thing, nerve-wracking thing. But we gave people options of what they can volunteer to do. Well, guess what? I did not volunteer to speak. But here I am. And I'm honored and blessed and gonna open up in prayer real fast. Okay. God, whew, you're such a good God. Thank you for coming and being here with us today. Thank you for coming and moving in and through us. Thank you for all that you do, God. I just pray that you would open everybody's ears to hear you so they can be touched by you in a new way today, God. Thank you. Amen. So, when we talked about what we were going to do in young adults after we finished our young adult group, there was somebody who kept pressuring me to speak. And kind of funny because he talked to me for like 10 minutes about it, then later on says how he doesn't like being pressured. So I was like, you know who you are. Anyway, that night I couldn't sleep. I was probably up till like 2:30, 3 in the morning. It was on my mind. I couldn't get it off my mind, couldn't sleep at all. So I just decided to write a testimony. That's what came to me. Wrote it down. That was about that. Turned it into the elders. Typed it in my computer yesterday, and that's basically all I've done with this message. So, Holy Spirit, it's all up to you. I titled my message, Knowing and Living in Truth. So, I'm going to start off with just a little story because to me, the fact that I'm up here is a testimony in itself. Never thought I would preach because I didn't want to. But God tells us all the time to do things we don't want to, and we just got to surrender to His will. So, back in my youth group days, Dennis was our youth leader, and he would pick certain people to lead or preach for that Wednesday. Every time he chose me, never ended up doing it. I don't know how I got out of it, but every time I got out of it. So that's why I say it's a testimony that I'm up here, because a Wednesday night with youth group, your friends, that should be a lot easier than getting up on a Sunday morning in front of a lot of other people. So, here's a little bit about me. My name is Lauren Kokel, for those of you who don't know. I'm a young adults leader here. Obviously, you know I'm a worship leader here. Serve in the nursery and I serve in the coffee bar. I am the daughter of Bruce and Lori Jacob. I am the second oldest of four girls. And I am married to Cody Kokel, who's hiding in the back. I thought I wasn't going to be able to say that joke because I was going to call everybody up, but he didn't listen, so I could use it. And we have four beautiful and crazy children. We have two boys and two girls. And we are blessed. So, I have grown up in this church, born and raised. A lot of you have literally seen me from a baby to now, which is pretty cool. I always like saying my dad was born and raised in this church, and my grandpa even built part of this church. I think that is such an amazing thing to have, to be able to say that and to just know that my family has planted some deep roots in this place. Yeah, it's just amazing. I feel so blessed to have grown up in this church because how I grew up was being taught relationship with the Lord. And the more I have talked to other Christians and just people that's something that they were never taught growing up, something they are just learning now. And it's just so many people, and I've, over the last several years, have just really realized how blessed I was to have grown up in a church who teaches relationship with the Lord, a family who models it for me. It is truly such a blessing. I remember being a kid, and always loving to come to church. You know, a lot of kids will be like, well, my parents make me, that's why I go. And I never remember having that a thought in my head. I loved going to church. I hated missing church. When I was sick, I'm like, I want to go to church. I wanted to go to church all the time. I loved worshiping. I loved coming and praying and just learning more about God. And back then, we were at church like 4 times a week, so it was awesome. I was homeschooled my whole life. I'm sure that might explain a lot for you guys. I hated school. Hated school. But I loved the freedom that homeschool gave. Like, I didn't have to go to school 8 hours a day. And we could, like, go on vacation any time of the year or go do anything that we wanted to do because we had that freedom. So that was nice. I did gymnastics competitively from the age of 4 to 15. I loved gymnastics. It was such a big part of my life. It taught me a lot of good things, like discipline and strength. I would be at the gym for about like 15, 20 hours a week. And then like my mom worked there too, so then she would like do birthday parties and I'd be like, yeah, I wanna stay and mess around. So I'd be there even longer. As a kid, I always remember being happy and there being tons of great memories. I had no fear when it came to sharing about God. I had no fear flipping around the beams, the bars on the vault and the floor. Even though I crashed a lot. I'd land on my head or my back or slap down right on the beam on my stomach. I'd get right back up, laugh. Everybody'd be like, oh my gosh, are you okay? I'm like stand up laughing right away, go at it again. It's really when I hit my teen years after I quit gymnastics that I started struggling, which I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to that because teen years are a struggle in itself. A lot changed for me physically from being a little kid and working out that hard for so many years to quitting and basically not doing anything. So it took a major, major toll on my self-esteem. Then all these thoughts started creeping in my mind, you know, into my life. I didn't like myself anymore. I wasn't happy. Sorry. Started making a lot of bad decisions and basically lived a double life for a couple of years. And I was pretty good at it, which is bad too. In some eyes, I was a good Christian girl who loved the Lord. And don't get me wrong, I loved the Lord. I just didn't decide to live for him in those moments, those times. In others' eyes, I was living for the world. I hid it as best as I could, and it made me suffer more inside. It started getting worse. I had such hate and disgust for myself. And a lot of people are like, oh, you grew up in such a good family. Like, how could you go through things like that? Because the enemy creeps in any little way he can. And when he gets in and you don't tell him to get out, it gets hard. I dealt with bulimia for about 3 years on and off. I hurt myself sometimes to numb the pain I felt inside, which of course never helped anything at all. I tried everything to change the way I felt, but what I knew was the truth. Okay, we're going back from when I was a kid. I was taught truth my entire life. Did everything else but what I knew I should do to change. And I punished myself for it because I felt so much shame. One day it finally caught up to me. I couldn't hide it anymore. I became pregnant with Kyrie. She's my oldest daughter, my oldest kid. She's about to be 8 soon. I became pregnant with her in 2016. My sin was now publicly displayed, as most of you know, which is, tough. At the time this happened, I was one of the worship leaders. Silly to say, but everything that finally came out was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. As hard as it was to go through it, it was like, finally, done with this. not that I couldn't have been done with it before, but it was like I didn't choose it. So God brought me to the point where I finally had to. I had no choice. Now that I had this life growing inside of me, my whole perspective changed. God changed my perspective, even on myself, because I didn't want that for her. I wanted to protect her. I wanted life for her, which meant I needed to give up myself and how I was living and give everything I am to God. See, through my teen years, now came time for repentance and walking through healing, which, like I said, my sin was publicly displayed, so that's really hard because as Christians, we're not always perfect. Sometimes we judge. Sometimes we put down others. And as I dealt with church and everyone thinking and saying things about me, it was a struggle. You know, you think at those times, oh, how can we call ourselves Christians and judge so hard and, you know. But I had to have grace and mercy and forgiveness for all these people who are saying things about me, especially because that's what I wanted, the grace and the mercy and forgiveness. People even would get up and say, how could she even worship up there? Whew. I was like, isn't God worthy of it all? Wherever we are, he's worthy of the worship. So, I understood what I had done. I had put my family, my church family, Cody's family, in a hard position. My dad was an elder, still is an elder. Terry was the leader of the church. And I was a worship leader. I put everybody in a very unfair position with my actions. So I had to deal with that and walk through accountability and healing. It was time. I also had to learn to do what I was wanting people to do for me. I thank God for our leadership, which we should every day pray for them, lift them up. I thank God for our leadership at that time because I was already somebody who dealt with so much shame. I punished myself. I didn't need people to punish me. I did it myself all the time, every day. I was part of the bulimia I dealt with. It was like a punishment. So I didn't need people to do that. And of course, when you do something that drastic and everybody sees, you think, man, I'm just going to get the hammer down on me. I'm, you know, basically feel way worse because people are going to judge me some more. Leadership's going to come hard down on me. But the leadership basically showed me the opposite. They showed me love. Instead of condemning me, shaming me, and judging me, they covered me with God's love and grace. Whether they realized they did that or not, that had such a big impact in my life. I look back at that, I'm like, whoa, thank you, God, for our leadership then. Because I don't know how I would have dealt with things if it was what I was thinking it would be. So I decided to step down from worship to deal with things and get my life right with God. Maybe a year or so later, I joined back up and I've been doing worship ever since. I had been part of doing worship since I was in youth group when I was 12. So it's been about 17 years since I've been doing worship. We started off in youth group, and maybe when I was like 16 or so, we started doing Sunday mornings. You see, worship was my only safe place. Even through all the crap I was doing, I would always just get in my room alone and worship God. It was my escape. You know, a lot of people will go to drugs or alcohol or a bunch of things, and I'm not going to say I didn't do any of that, but it wasn't an escape for me. It did nothing for me. I think God was just being like, ha-ha, gotcha. That doesn't escape. That doesn't make you feel better. I do, When are you going to realize that? He was my escape. And worship was something I just loved to do, something that's been a huge part of me. It's something that's been a huge part of this church. It's honestly, I think, the only thing that kept me going, because there were times where I didn't want to live. And I think even though I wasn't living for God, me worshiping kept calling me back to him, whether I was even thinking that or not. It was my safe place. He kept me going. I would be at home playing on my guitar for hours and singing. My mom can tell you, I'd be up in my room just doing my thing with him and with God and me. Writing songs, a lot of you guys know. We've played them here, songs I've written. There's power in worship, guys. There's such power. I don't think we understand how much power there is in worship. And that's why praise should ever be on our lips. Because when we speak these things, regardless of me saying, oh, God, you're so good. He is good. And we're going to manifest that in our lives. You know, it makes me think of the song Casting Crowns. The song from Casting Crowns. I'll praise you in the storm. The chorus goes, I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. Every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. I was torn. I will praise you in the storm. If I can give any good advice about when you're going through something, it's to worship and praise the Lord. Let him be your safe place. Let him be the place you run to, not the things of this world. We already know they don't do anything for us. Let him be your escape. See, through my teen years, I walked in hatred for myself. Bulimia, I dealt with the demonic tormenting me, and depression. I knew the truth, but I wasn't walking in truth. Knowing the truth is just the first step, guys. Walking in it and living in it is the next, and it's a daily choice. So something that came to me this week, another thought I had, where is in the Bible, it says, you know, in multiple places in the Bible, it says, seek me and you will find me. God's talking to us. Seek me, you will find me. Which is awesome. Because I know that all I have to do is seek him. And I'll find him. I'll see him. But I started thinking about it in the opposite way. About what am I seeking? Because if I'm not seeking God, I'm seeking other things. Okay? So if we're talking about seeking and finding, if I'm not seeking God, I'm seeking other things, I'm going to find other things. And as we've established, as I've established through my life, what I was seeking other things, I was not finding anything good. Which you won't, because the only thing good is God. If I'm not seeking God, I'm seeking people, I'm seeking myself, I'm seeking things of the world. And I'm not going to be seeing through God's perspective. I'm going to be seeing through the world's perspective, and that's why I got so caught up in how I saw myself. And that's why I saw myself in such bad ways. Because I wasn't seeking the Lord. And so many times in life, we get caught up in life, and we start not seeing things how we should be seeing things, because we're not seeking God in those moments. I found crap where God sees beauty in myself, in other people. Whew. If I'm seeking God, I'm going to find him. I'm going to find who he is. I'm going to find who I am in him. I'm going to see things through his perspective because my only focus is him and everything he is. Everything is life. He's life. So I'm going to see life all around me. Even though there may be a storm surrounding me, I'm still going to see the life in it because I'm looking at him. Whew. What are you seeking today, guys? What are you seeking? Ask yourself that question. You know, God brought me to a place where I couldn't live how I was living anymore. I couldn't live a lie anymore. I had to die to myself because I couldn't live in my flesh anymore. I couldn't go one more day without purpose or meaning in life. I needed to surrender what I thought I wanted or needed. You know, we always think I need this. Oh, that person has that. I need this. I want this. It looks so cool. It'd be good for me. No, God, what do you want me to have? You're my only want. You're my only need. I don't need anything but you. I don't need anything but what you want for me. I don't want anything but what you want for me. It's a place we need to get. So I had to give it all to God. I surrendered to him. Because what I really need was Jesus. What we really need is Jesus. Whew. Fix your eyes on him. Right now, just close your eyes. Whew. Fix your eyes on him. Whew, Jesus. Guys, it's a daily choice. I had to choose. Still have to choose. Every day I have to choose to seek God, put on my identity in him, see things the way he wants me to see things. I have to align myself with him so I can function in who he is and who I am in him, how he wants me to function. We have to throw away this image of ourselves that says, I have to look this way. I have to work this job. I have to have this house. I have to have these things. They make me look good. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. Throw it away. Whatever lie you tell yourself, just throw it away. It doesn't do you any good. And you need to align yourself in the image God says you are. You're only going to do that when you're seeking him. Because what you seek, you'll find. So, everything you need comes through him. We have this simple task of choosing him. And all these amazing, amazing things come with it. And all he did was say, choose me. That's all you got to do. Seems so easy. And it really should be because he's such a good God. Another thing I learned is that we have to speak the truth until we believe it. Because a lot of the times, we're going to feel things. Okay, we're human. We're going to feel things. But that doesn't mean we run off of our feelings. Doesn't mean we do things off of our feelings. So you need to combat how you feel with speaking the truth. That's your faith, speaking it. That's the part of aligning with God that we have to do, is speaking the truth. Sometimes it's a battle. Sometimes it's not just speaking it and that's done with. Sometimes it's speaking it daily. Sometimes it's speaking it many times through the day because it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle sometimes. Sometimes our minds don't want to believe the truth because of how we're feeling. And we have to speak it out in faith, the truth of who God says we are, until our minds align with Christ. So, I have some verses that just tells us who we are. And there's tons of other things, but I just picked some. Number one, we're gonna throw it up there. It's, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's in Psalms 139:14 in the Amplified Version. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. That's a truth you can speak. My soul, everything I am, knows who I am in you. And who I am in you is fearfully and wonderfully made. I no longer see myself as crap. No longer see myself as, man, you're disgusting. Because that's not what the word says. That's not what God says. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, next one. I like this one. I am God's handiwork. Ephesians 2:10 in the NIV. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You guys are God's handiwork. Number three, I am chosen. How many of you in life don't feel chosen by a lot of things? I think we could probably all raise our hand. But God chose you. You are chosen. 1 Peter 2:9 in the NIV. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Number four, I am a child of God. What an amazing thing to be. Galatians 4:7. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And I liked another verse for that one. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. See what great love the Father has lavished on you. Open your eyes. Number five, I am a new creation. Whew, I'm made new in you, God, and thank you. Thank you so much. I needed to be made new in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. That brings such relief. Number six, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. So that means you need to forgive yourself, because the God who created you, who sees every part of you, forgave you, died on the cross for your sins to make you be forgiven. So don't hold on to those things. You're forgiven. God says it. Simple. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Which I also like that verse a lot, because it's not just you have to forgive yourself. Bear with one another. That can be very hard to do. Forgive them because the Lord forgave you. And guess what? We've done so much way worse things to God, who's the best, than we could ever do to each other. And he forgave us. Number seven, I am loved. I am loved. You were loved. Do you know it? You are so loved by God of all creation. You are so loved. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And the last one I have is, I have purpose. I know a lot of people struggle with this one. They'll be like, well, I'm not doing anything in the church. I have no purpose there. Whew, you have purpose. When you come, you bring something. That's purpose. God gave us all stuff individually for a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, famous scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And there's so many other things we are in him. All of who God is, he made us to be. He made us in his own image. Whew, that's such an amazing thing. Just like it says in Genesis 1:27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. So, my point in all this is, seek God, and you'll find him. And all things you've been searching for will be fulfilled. Okay? That only comes through God. Only comes through God. There's no other way to be fully fulfilled. There's no other way to be satisfied. You'll see the richest people alive kill themselves because they were depressed. And you're like, why? You have everything you could ever want. You have no need. Why aren't you happy? Because they don't have God. God is the answer to everything. Seek God, you will find him. And everything you want, you need, you've been searching for, will be satisfied and fulfilled in him. And find your identity in Christ so you can walk and live in truth. Okay? And that, yet again, only comes through seeking him. So, I'm going to have an altar call. There's some people who may be struggling with the things currently that I was struggling with back then. And I'm going to call the prayer up team now. Prayer team's up now. That if you're struggling with that, come get prayer. Come get truth spoken over you. And if you just want more of God, you want to seek him, which that should be everybody here. You want more of him. You want to seek him. You want to see him everywhere you go. You want to see through his perspective everywhere you go. Come up and seek him. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're such a good God. And everything you are, you have given to us. Thank you that we can function in that and function in who you are. Thank you that you've given us the power to do so. You've given us the will to do so. All we had to do was choose you. And you made it such an easy choice because you're so good. Thank you, God.